Well, isn't that a byproduct of the quarterback? Ayuk can't thrive unless he gets the football. Ayuk can't thrive unless the quarterback makes a good throw. How many deep routes in the postseason? How many crossing routes did we see Brandon Ayuk wide open, jumping up and down, throwing a LeBron-like tantrum for not getting the football because Purdy didn't see it? Don't forget about the pick six he should have thrown against Green Bay. That drop, Darnell Savage right in the head, boom. Changes the entire football game. So that's Jermaine Wiggins. So I knew as soon as he said it, I said, here we go again. We're going to be called haters. But Ayuk struggles. And the reason why Ayuk was really disturbed because he wasn't getting the football. He wasn't getting targeted. And he's the best wide receiver on the team. And we saw the deep routes where Purdy was inaccurate. Hell, he saved an interception on the miracle against Detroit late third quarter. So that's why, but what disturbed me about the conversation, Shasky, I know I'm long-winded here, was that Guru and Steiner were talking about Ayuk and whether or not they're valued and whether or not Debo, not one mention of the quarterback. Well, maybe the struggles happen to do with the quarterback. Isn't that, if the quarterback doesn't play well, how's the receiver going to play well?
Well, we all can agree that, like, he's a really good player, right? Can we all agree there? He's a really good player. But the second you pay the quarterback or are in line to pay the quarterback $50 million plus a year, you better be sure you have the right type of quarterback that can be a difference maker when you have lesser parts financially surrounding that player. All right. Like, I think we can all understand that component. Now, he's a young player. I'm hoping him to get better. I think he's going to grow. I think his familiarity in the offense is only going to get better, you know. But these are the real equations that you have to have set up. Now, as we were going through this trade, who you're going to trade, who you're not going to trade with the wide receivers, what was the number one skepticism of people that were like, don't trade Ayuk? It was, I'm not sure Brock Purdy can elevate the next man up.
Because he's
very young.
What did Jermaine Wiggins just say?
He asked the same question.
He said, I'm not sure Purdy can carry a team.
So that's the question that I have for the audience. Like, we all think he's really good. I think if you took the money away, most people would think Dak is really good. But the minute you pay Dak the money, now you can't afford Amari Cooper. Now you can't afford that left guard. Now you can't afford a defensive player, right? Because you're paying that guy $60 million. Like, in a vacuum, I like Dak Prescott. I hate paying Dak Prescott $50 million. I certainly don't want to pay him $65 million, which is what he's looking for. So do the same equation and remove emotion for Brock Purdy.
No, we can't.
I love Brock Purdy.
We can't.
But paying him $50 or $60 million, if you're not a little like hesitant, like I think you're being unrealistic.
We can't. We can't do it. So that's why
there's only three quarterbacks in the league I don't blink when I want to pay $65 million. Mahomes, Josh Allen, and I would throw Joe Burrow in there. Some people won't. Some people may say there's only one, and it's Patrick Mahomes. Why wouldn't you have a little pause with Brock Purdy? And I like Brock Purdy.
I look at the three games with Jermaine Wiggins.
Just a little pause.
The Jermaine Wiggins, what he said there, is he capable of carrying a team? Well, in only his second year, and I give him a pass for that. He wasn't ready for that this past season.
I totally agree.
And I said it in real time.
Totally agree.
That's okay.
Yeah.
He's only in his second year. It's his first time starting from day one. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him not being able to carry a team, which is why I don't want to trade Ayuk and Debo, because I don't know if he's ready to carry a team. All right? We don't know that yet. We saw the three games without Debo and Trent Williams, and they scored 17, 17, 17, and they struggled mightily offensively. And he threw a lot of picks. What did he throw, five picks during that three-game stretch? Five picks? That's it. Purdy's fine. I have no problem with him being the starting quarterback with the 49ers. But I truly believe right now you need to surround him with plenty of weapons. Even when Brady first started, we're talking about Tom Brady. They were a run-first team, and they played defense first.
Yes.
But now with the 49ers, that defense has lost a little bit,
it's
and they're not
older.
The same defense,
yeah.
So now you need the offense to carry the defense at times. And the offense, look, they stepped up in the second half against Detroit, coming back in that football game. You get credit for that. Brock gets credit for that. He gets credit for coming back against Green Bay. They get all the credit for that. But that's an outside perspective about Brock Purdy. And you don't think those same thoughts? Come on, man. Like, we want Brock Purdy. We're desperate for a franchise quarterback. Desperate. But I do step back a little bit when Jed York says, you know, Brock Purdy's going to reset the quarterback market. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on now.
But the reason,
the expectations get raised.
But not only that, and I look at, people are like, well, he's only making 900 grand this year. Yes, but the team is now making moves. You're watching it right now. They're making moves preemptively to set themselves up financially to be able to afford that, right? So this is the year now where you're going to start to see, like, why is this Debo's last year? Most people agree. Why? Why is it? It's not because they don't like Debo. They like Debo. They know they can't afford Debo if they're paying Brock Purdy. And they can't afford Ayuk. And they can't afford Kittle and CMC. You can't afford all of them. Like, if the quarterback is going to stay on $1 million contract, yeah, you can afford a million different things.
That's the whole reason why they drafted Trey Lance and made the moves to go get Trey Lance. To reset the quarterback room and get off the money and keep all the players around Trey Lance.
So, again, let's start with the conversation here. And you're doing it appropriately. He's really good. We all like him.
We all like him.
The question is he top of the market financially good enough to be able to keep this thing humming with lesser parts around him? That I don't know.
You know what bugs me? This is what bugs me. And you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget that you could also watch us every single day on our YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter streams. Just log out and search 95.7 The Game. Be sure to like and subscribe to the channel while you are there. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. Shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line. I'll run into people on the street. They're like, boy, you're a Shanahan hater, aren't you? You don't like Shanahan. I said, no, I love Shanahan. But when I hear fans come up to me saying, we got our next Bill Walsh, I say, hold up, wait a minute.
we got to win first.
Can I just get George Seifert? Can I get Jim Harbaugh? You know what I'm saying? And now he may have catapulted Jim Harbaugh. And if I critique him a little bit, like, I've been at the station for over seven and a half years. I've heard people crush Steph Curry, crush Draymond Green, crush Clay Thompson.
We just crushed
Debo. Bob Myers, Debo.
The Super Bowl, Debo is getting absolutely blasted for the Super Bowl. Like, he didn't carry this team in 2021 and drag them to an NFC championship game.
Like, he didn't have 8 catches and 89 yards against the Detroit Lions in an NFC title game. He ran some damn good routes in that game, didn't he? But we could crush these Warriors who've won banner after banner after banner, six finals appearances, and we crushed them. Bob Myers, we're still seeing people crush Bob Myers. Steve Kerr on his rotations. Brian Sabian, the architect. But if you go near Brock Purdy, I'll admit this, everybody, all the roasters, everybody listening to car radios, I'm scared to critique Brock Purdy. I get petrified because of the things that hit my DMs and the things I hear on Twitter, and we get labeled as Brock Purdy haters. Like, we root against Brock Purdy to prove a point. No, we want Brock Purdy to be great, but what it is, this is what it is. I think he's a really good quarterback. Is he ready to carry the team?
Probably not right now.
Do I feel comfortable giving Brock Purdy generational, like, resetting the quarterback market?
No.
I get a little scared about that.
I mean, but if you found out, like, hey, he wants $25 million a year, everybody would be like, sign me up.
Sign me up for that.
Sign me up.
Did you get the 40, 50, 60?
So, like, let's talk about Tua. Tua's had a couple of really good years back-to-back. There's no way in hell I want to pay Tua $60 million. Do you?
I don't.
No. And I think Purdy's better than Tua. But I think the same type of metaphorical question remains, and Miami's having it right now. Damn, you're going to let Christian Wilkins go because you have to pay Tua down the line? Damn, are we going to have to lose Waddle or Hill because we have to pay Tua down the line?
Right.
A lot of people don't want to do that.
Like, I remember last season, and even when Josh Allen was struggling, I was saying, I'd rather have Josh Allen than Brock Purdy. It's not criminal. Josh Allen's a top 5 quarterback. Brock Purdy's probably a top 12 quarterback, and that's okay. But if I say that, and when I say that, it's you're a Brock Purdy hater. Get off my airways. You suck, Bonte.
It's so unfair.
I get petrified criticizing anything with Brock Purdy. So sometimes we go over the top, like Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll never forget. They played the Detroit Lions, and I thought it was an okay Jimmy game. And you came out and said, I apologize to Jimmy, because you were petrified that if you critique one little throw about Jimmy Garoppolo, you're going to get alienated.
I was probably one of the more outspoken Jimmy critiquers.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
And yep. Absolutely.
And that's okay. And I got hit hard for it.
And that's okay.
So, like, the Josh Allen thing is a very interesting one. We see this with Lamar. I want you to just take a step back and put your Niner hat on the ground for a minute, okay? Gals and guys out there, do you really think, all things being equal, any GM in the league is taking Brock over Lamar or Josh Allen? Now, given what the Niners want to do and things like that, like, yeah, you can make the argument for this, that, and the other. And then there's the financial component. Hey, if Brock's still making 900 grand, yeah, give me Brock all day because I can afford all these right. other things. But just in a vacuum.
Pound for pound,
so when I see
talent.
People be like, Lamar's done nothing in the playoffs. Yeah, you're factually correct. He also carries that organization. Josh Allen's done nothing in the playoffs. Did you watch the game? He hit his receivers over and over and over in between the numbers, and his kicker missed an extra a field goal right. attempt.
And it's not his fault a couple seasons before that that they allowed Buffalo or Kansas City to tie the game with 13 seconds left and no timeouts. Or one timeout. You know what I'm saying?
So
it's not his fault.
So we can go playoff wins as a stat. That's a team thing as well, and it's a coach thing. Like, you put Josh Allen with Shanahan, and you put Brock with McDermott, we're having different conversations. But these are the financial component is looming over the organization. Right. And so I do believe that people need to start preparing themselves. Guys like Debo, who you love, you're not going to be able to afford them when you give a guy $60 million. And no one is saying that they don't like Brock. We all love Brock. Is he $60 million, surrender other stud players on both sides of the ball, good enough to keep this thing humming? I don't know. We'll find out. That's why this year's big.
Yep. JJ San Jose, real quick, spent $5 on YouTube. Thank you very much. There's literally zero quarterbacks who can carry a team. Enough with these ridiculous standards. What's Mahomes without Kelce? All right. Maybe Mahomes isn't the Mahomes we know. But he does have Kelce, and he maximizes him. But that's one right. That's one tight end. Could you name his other wide receivers?
I mean, he just did it. He just did it with a bunch of no-namers. I mean, anyone could have had Mecole Hardman at the deadline
the year before. Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster, dog. I mean,
who signed a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal after that?
They beat the Eagles, who we saw up close and personal, and I thought the Eagles were going to blow him off the map, but they didn't because of Mahomes.
Yeah,
Mahomes is special. We get it. Is Brock Purdy special? I think Brock Purdy's really, really good. Is he special good? I don't know yet. And that's okay because he's only entering his third season at quarterback. But if they say that, oh, you guys don't believe it. Brock, you're a hater. We got our guy. Okay, well, we'll see. We shall see. But that's where it leads me to the Ayuk and Debo thing. I'm so thankful that they traded them because we don't have to find that out this season, Shasky. He has a full complement of weapons. Don't have to find it out yet because I'm afraid that if we do find out, there's going to be some people losing jobs around here. With the 49ers. All right, we'll pick up this conversation on the other side. Brought to you by the Alameda County Probation Department. I know everything.
I'm a Warriors fan all the way.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
What are we doing? Lucky us.
Hey.
Ah, good morning. Morning Roast. Shasky, Bonte. And we're just talking about a lot of different things this morning. And one of them that we're on is Jermaine Wiggins was on with us about 30 minutes ago. And he was just questioning the Brock Purdy thing. Not that he's not good. He is good. Is he carry the franchise good? And when you pay someone $60-65 million a year to play quarterback, that's the equation that you're trying to deduce. Now, how many of those guys are in the league currently? I think that's a fascinating question. Some people would say Lamar Jackson. Other people would not, based off the playoff record. I think everybody is saying, absolutely, Patrick Mahomes is. I believe Josh Allen to be, but I don't know how many other people out there agree with me. Joe Burrow, I believe to be, but I don't know how many other people agree with me. I do not think Tua is. I definitely don't think Kirk Cousins is. I have major question marks about Herbert, though I understand why that organization gave him that kind of money. So these are the conversations that front offices are having. These are the calculations that they're having. The hard part is that, and this is where we go back into the Ayuk thing, you can't pay everybody top five money and be deep across the board and pay everyone premium money. You have to find value in the margins. And so as the Niners prepare themselves to pay Brock Purdy, which I understand, they're preparing themselves to make Brock Purdy a very high paid player. They are now doing the financial juggling of who they can afford and who they can't and where they can spend money and where they can't. And so not everyone can get the bag, Bonte. Trent's getting the bag. I think CMC's going to get broken off a bag at some point, you know, and everyone, stop bargain watching. No, salary cap, you better have your monocle out, and you better be like Monopoly, and you better figure out who you can afford on Boardwalk and who you can't. And so I think they're making these calculations as we speak.
Man, I'm just flabbergasted here because Jermaine Wiggins played in the NFL, and we got people crushing him on his opinion when he played the game. We asked him about Brandon Ayuk because Brandon Ayuk has been a topic of conversation around the Bay Area for the past couple weeks. Obviously, he wants it back. He wants to get extended. He's not coming to training camp without new money. Hopefully, they figure it out because I think he's a damn good wide receiver. Is he the best wide receiver in football? No. But we've had three people on. And I was thinking about this during the Jermaine Wiggins interview. And we got sidetracked a little bit here. Mio O'Brien, Jacksonville Sports Radio. When the rumors first started swirling about Ayuk to Jacksonville. And how she viewed, and how Jacksonville viewed Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
How did they view Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, they really, 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 really like him.
Okay.
So my assessment is B+, A- type of a player that they would want to acquire.
Good, cool, cool. Save that for a second. But let's go down the list here. So, Mio O'Brien, Jacksonville Sports Radio, and everybody in Jacksonville loves Brandon Ayuk.
Yes.
Willing to do whatever they got to do to go get Brandon Ayuk. They didn't do it. Maybe the asking price is too much. And a good Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, who, during the pro day at LSU, Cameron Wolf asked, he goes, Brian Thomas, I was just talking to an executive, and they believe your game is comparable to Brandon Ayuk. All right, so that's me, O'Brien. And then think about Andrew Filippone, Pittsburgh Radio, 93.7. He was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was on with us last week. What did he say about Brandon Ayuk? Do we still have the cut? He said, Justin Jefferson was hurt. And he said, arguably, outside of Tyreek Hill, Brandon Ayuk was the most productive wide receiver in pro football. That's Pittsburgh. So now we got Jacksonville in Florida, mm-hmm. South. We got the East Coast of Pittsburgh. Andrew Filippone, who seems like he is tapped in because Pittsburgh seems like they're still interested in Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got Jermaine Wiggins, Northeast. Talking about, yeah, we would have loved to have Brandon Ayuk. I love Brandon Ayuk. I think he's a great wide receiver. He's everything we need, a true number one. So outside our bubble here in the Bay Area, people are telling us how they view Brandon Ayuk. And they think Brandon Ayuk is a very good player, a very good player. So that's why I always, you know, I always think like, damn, do we underrate Brandon Ayuk? And I look at the numbers and we watch these games every single week. We go to the games every single week at Levi Stadium. We see it. We see the numbers. We know what this offense mm-hmm. brings to the table. And you look up, you're like, damn. How you go for the season catching 8 passes on 8 targets? Wide open. Now you can say Shanahan skimmed it. You still got to run the routes. You still got to get yourself open. You still got to catch the football. We saw in the playoffs how many times he was running wide open. He's jumping up and down. The play in the Super Bowl. Baldy keeps talking about it. You have Brandon Ayuk wide open after he just absolutely dismantled LeJarius Sneed at the line of scrimmage. So they're telling us Brandon Ayuk is pretty damn good and they want him.
So, okay. I like this conversation, and now I'm just winging this on the fly, so bear with me here. Let's do this exercise.
Can I play this cut before you start?
Yeah, please.
Just because it may add to your conversation and your exercise. Andrew Filippone, here's what he thinks about Brandon Ayuk.
I know for a fact that the Steelers are still very interested.
Oh, boy.
There are a lot of guys in their front office who are looking at that Eagles model with the A.J. Brown trade and thinking, this is the guy we need to kickstart things for us and bring the most out of our quarterbacks who are one-year deals, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, their assistant GM, the guy who is setting the draft board for them. His name is Andy Weidel. He was with the Eagles before he came here last offseason. So, yeah, if the 49ers want to do business, the Steelers are ready.
And here's what he added on what Ayuk could get.
I think that average annual number is going to be somewhere between $28 and $30 million.
Wow.
That's what I think.
Wow.
That's what I've heard.
Wow.
Because the salary cap's going way up. And look, I mean, after you could make the argument, because Justin Jefferson was dinged up last year, you could make the argument that after Tyreek Hill, there isn't a more productive wide receiver in the NFL right now than Brandon Ayuk, and he's in his mid-20s, and I think he's going to be paid accordingly.
It's very powerful. So
that's three people we've talked to all across the league who seem to be tapped in, right?
Mm-hmm,
they seem to be tapped in with their organizations
yeah.
and their fan bases. That's how they view Brandon Ayuk.
So I asked you a question, I don't know, a couple days ago. I said to you, this is on the phone, you and me. We always have these conversations. If you said that the whole league, anyone on my roster is available, okay, and you're the Niners. I like doing this because it shows me how other teams value. Now, you might value people differently than how the league does, but I like this conversation. You can have anyone on the roster. Who is fetching the biggest haul for the Niners on their current roster? It's Bosa, right?
Probably Nick. Yeah, I think I said Nick Bosa,
okay.
Right?
So let's just go to the offensive side of the ball. Who is fetching the most in return if all of the offensive players, given their ages, their money now, and what they would have to pay them down the line, who is next in line on offense that would fetch you the most in a trade haul? Just doing the exercise.
I go C-Mac and Ayuk first, too.
Running back?
You said the age.
Okay, no, that's why I'm asking.
Age,
okay.
The contract.
CMC.
The contract. The productivity.
Ayuk.
All right.
Okay.
$14 million a year. Everybody's looking for three-down running backs now. You see the running back explosion this past offseason. All of a sudden, running backs became important again. Who knew? Running backs
Trent?
Are important. Trent would be top three because left tackle. We're always looking for linemen.
Okay. So you don't think Brock Purdy would net them back? Just your thoughts. You don't think that Brock Purdy in a trade would net back more than CMC, Ayuk, or Trent?
I don't.
Okay. So now let's go around the league.
I don't.
All right. No, it's interesting that you think that way.
I'm not hating on Brock Purdy.
No, I don't think you are. I think a lot of people would agree with you. Now let's go around the league. Like, if I did the same exercise with the Bengals and I said, who is worth the most on their offensive side of the ball via trade? It's not Ja'Marr Chase. It's Joe Burrow.
It's Joe Burrow.
Even with the injury concerns.
Yeah, it's Joe Burrow. And it's definitely not T. Higgins because we've seen how that offseason's playing out.
Okay. If I did the same exercise in Miami, the answer is Tyreek Hill over
and then Jalen Waddle.
And then Jalen Waddle over Tua.
Yep.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
I see exactly where you're going.
Okay. So now my question to you is, as we're making these decisions, if you could go back, hypothetically, knowing everything you know now, if you can go back to the drawing board at quarterback and keep all your weapons or ride with Purdy and re-tinker the weapons around him, I'm making you choose between one or the other. Which one are you choosing? Because I know what I'm going to do.
So you're saying either move off the quarterback, keep your weaponry, or tinker with your weaponry, keep
Purdy. This hypothetical, this vacuum conversation.
I'm still probably keeping Purdy.
See, I am too.
I'm keeping Purdy.
Knowing how there's so many more playmakers. The scarcity of quarterbacks makes me lean staying with. So I understand why the Niners are going to probably pay Purdy a boatload of money.
They've been looking for the quarterback. You're always trying to look for every team is looking for a quarterback every single year.
Now let's do the exercise.
The New York Giants will probably love Brock Purdy. Probably.
I would think. So let's say Dak Prescott on the Cowboys. We're looking at the Cowboys. Who fetches you the most?
Probably
Dak
CeeDee Lamb.
Or CeeDee.
CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb. I would go CeeDee Lamb and then Dak.
Okay. Okay.
I would go CeeDee Lamb and then Dak.
All right. What about on the Eagles?
It's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I mean, they've got some players.
They've got some players. And I don't think Jalen Hurts is all that bad. I think it's going to have a resurgence this
year. Yeah, I agree.
But now you added Saquon. I could even go, man, Lane Johnson may be the most valuable on that team.
Okay.
Right tackle.
Yeah.
I may go Lane Johnson over A.J. Devontae because without Lane Johnson, they can't do anything without Lane.
See, to me, like where I go, like, am I willing to pay you the $60 million is that exercise we just did right there. If I said the same thing about Baltimore, hey, you can have anyone on Baltimore. Who do you want?
Everybody's taking Lamar. Not even close.
Right? Now, if I did that last year with the Minnesota Vikings, as much as people do like Kirk Cousins, everyone's taking Justin Jefferson.
And then I think people are taking Danielle Hunter over Kirk Cousins.
Let's go to the Rams. They have two premier wide receivers. Yeah. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. And then they have Matt Stafford. I think Matt Stafford still gets you the best haul.
At this stage of his career, I think Cooper Kupp would.
Okay. So I'm going to go Stafford. I still think a team that's vying would go with Stafford. And then if you look at Seattle, another team in their division, isn't everybody taking DK over Geno Smith?
Probably. Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down, that'd be close.
So this is the algorithm of how I go about thinking about the contracts and how we give them out.
Well, I also think it's harder to find a quarterback than wide receiver. Yeah, I also think people will take Kenneth Walker III over Geno Smith. That's how people view Geno Smith.
Yeah, you might be right.
Going to Seattle. You brought up Geno in Seattle.
Yeah.
We had Dick Fan off from the Softy Mahler show, Softy and Dick show up there in Seattle, KJR Radio. They do a great job up there. Remember how he talked about Brock Purdy? He believed that if you inserted Geno Smith, there would be no drop off of that offense.
Well, that I disagree.
We all disagree with that. But that's just how they view.
Yeah.
People still look at Brock Purdy, and I think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he had a better year than Jimmy Garoppolo ever did. I think he's a better quarterback than Jimmy all around.
I agree. I think everyone agrees. I think a lot of people agree.
However, just the sense I get nationally is that they're still viewing Purdy with the same type of question marks that they had with Jimmy Garoppolo when he was in his prime with the 49ers. And again, I'm not saying Purdy is Jimmy. I, Bonte Hill, believe Brock Purdy's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he does a lot more. I think he processes better. I think he throws a better ball. I think he's more mobile. He can extend plays. Jimmy couldn't do it. However, I just remember the conversations nationally when it came to Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you guys need to upgrade the quarterback. If you had a better quarterback, you win the Super Bowl. And then Jermaine Wiggins from WEEI comes on and says, yeah, I don't think Brock Purdy's a legit quarterback. I think you need a legit quarterback. He's not legit. I think you could upgrade there. I think you still go out there and get Tom Brady. I get the same sense that nationally, they still view Purdy the same as they view Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they think Purdy's a little bit better, but the uncertainty is still there. That they had with Jimmy, it's still there with Brock Purdy.
I think the body of work in the playoffs is infinitely better for Brock Purdy, especially in second halves of games when games are won and lost for Brock Purdy than Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, we can go to the Dallas second half where he executed a couple of drives late, going back a couple years ago. His second half against Seattle was unbelievable. Obviously got hurt in the Philly game. This year, I would say the fourth quarter against Green Bay was so much better than anything we've seen from Jimmy in a fourth quarter. And then the second half against Detroit, it was the Brock show. You know what I mean? Like him and the defense, they completely flipped that game. I think in the Super Bowl, I think that their production was similar, but I thought Brock was better in his Super Bowl than Jimmy was in his.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think he was better. And you know what? Through three quarters, Jimmy was really good.
No, he was. But the fourth quarter, it fell apart.
It was a team-wide meltdown. Let's go to Milton and Burlingame. Milton and Burlingame. Wow, I didn't think we were going to be talking heavy Niners today. Milton, what's happening?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I personally think that we talked about the Jaguars. I think that they personally would give up Lawrence and a pick for Purdy, and I even think that the Chargers would give up Herbert and a pick for Purdy. I think that's how good he is, because it's just that you got to look at efficiency. And yeah, maybe he was boring during the postseason, but he didn't make a lot of errors. And I mean, he even got a ton of praise from the Chiefs' defensive coordinator, saying that he had ice in his veins and didn't flinch. I mean, that's kind of the type of player you want during that crunch time. I just feel that, you know, the Chiefs had been there before, and Patrick Mahomes is just better. That's all there is to it. They lost to a better player. But I just feel like after Mahomes and Purdy, just doesn't really get much better with efficiency, hard work, and results.
Hey, Will, you seriously wouldn't, Milton, you seriously wouldn't trade Brock Purdy for Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence?
No, not even close. Trevor Lawrence was terrible.
Yeah, I would take Brock over Trevor Lawrence right now. Trevor's been underwhelming. Herbert, I think this is a huge year for me to make a definitive decision on Herbert. I think his coach has been so bad. You know I don't believe it.
That was definitely Willa Moorhead, right?
Yeah, 100% Willa Moorhead.
I love Willa Moorhead.
He hung up real quick, too.
There's no Miltons walking around here. Milton is a name.
When he called in, he's like, "Hey, it's Milton Burlingham." Like, you know, I was like, "You sure about that?" It's like Bradley. Yeah, it's like Milton, you sound Bradley. Like another one of our callers. Oh, which one? Will Marin. Oh, nope, I don't know who that is. I'm like, sure. What do you want to talk about?
Herbert, isn't this the year to make a determination on Herbert regarding his elite status or not with Harbaugh?
Absolutely, especially with the weaponry.
Well, and let's play the exercise there. If the Chargers were to trade anyone on their current roster, he's fetching you the most, right? I mean, you just saw what Keenan went for.
Yeah, receivers are not going for a lot these days.
No.
And that's why I don't think that the league, we were having a conversation yesterday, led to Steiny Guru too. when they're talking about the league doesn't value Ayuk and Deebo like we do. I just think the league looks at everything and they say, well, Diggs just went for a 1 second round pick in 2025.
Yeah, and you had to give up a
right, and you had to give up two picks for that, a sixth round pick this year and a fifth round pick. When Diggs was first traded, he got a, they gave Buffalo gave up a first, fifth, sixth, and a 2021 fourth round pick. And teams are saying, yeah, we're not doing that. They watched Kansas City win a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill because Kansas City traded Tyreek Hill and they were able to get a first, a second round pick, a fourth round pick, and then a fourth and a sixth the next season and saw Kansas City win the Super Bowl and say, you know what? Yeah, we're not trading multiple picks for wide receivers because it's been proven that you can win without premier wide receivers. It has been proven. Kansas City, but they have an all-time quarterback. There's an exception to the rule. Does Jalen Hurts make the Super Bowl without A.J. Brown? Well, Philadelphia traded for A.J. Brown because they got smoked by Tampa Bay the year before. They say, you know what? We need more. We need Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown. And hell, that wasn't enough, so they went out and signed Saquon Barkley.
I don't think Philly today would trade Jalen for Brock.
I don't think so either. Not that offense.
No.
Because honestly, I don't think that teams, I think they value Ayuk and I think they value Deebo. Yeah. But I think the Niners' asking price was like, I don't care what these other teams traded for.
Yeah.
Like DeAndre Hopkins, remember him? He's getting flipped for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So I think teams are saying, you know what? We're not going to give you what you want. And then the Niners are saying, well, if you're not going to give us what we want, we're in a win-win situation. So we trade Ayuk for multiple first-round picks or top half of the NFL draft. We're good. But if you don't give it to us, well, we know we can pay Brandon Ayuk, and we're good with that moving forward.
I just look at it as like supply and demand. There's less elite quarterbacks than there are, you know, elite wide receivers. Mm-hmm. There's less of them. It's harder to find quarterback than any other position in sports.
So
if you find one, you know, most teams are going to stick with that guy. And wide receivers, they're going to devalue them because there's so many good ones in the league right now.
By the way, the odds for LeBron James's next team has been released.
Give it to me.
Leading the way.
Golden State Warriors.
4-1 odds.
Are you kidding me?
To Golden State Warriors. 5-1
talking
odds.
It into existence.
5-1 odds he goes back to Cleveland.
Where Shasky was right.
5-1 odds. These are just odds, Shasky. He hasn't signed with the Warriors yet.
5-1 odds. Right when it comes to the odds.
5-1 odds. He goes back to the Cleveland Cavaliers for his third stint there in Cleveland. 6-1 odds. He goes to the New York Knickerbockers.
It's this Brock conversation. Why is everyone so sensitive when we're just talking? Why is everything filed under slander?
I don't know. You know how much praise I gave Brock Purdy last year? And the minute they went out of three-game losing, I say, well, he threw five picks. He threw two in the fourth quarter here, threw two in there, and everybody blamed the concussion. Everybody wanted. I'm not blaming Brock Purdy for losing any games, especially not in football. There's so many plays, and there's 53 guys, and there's coach, they're play calling situations. I didn't blame Brock Purdy for the Super Bowl loss.
No, McCaffrey fumbled. The defense crumbled. The special teams let him down. There's a million different
things. Deebo Samuel couldn't uncover the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the offensive line.
Trent Williams had a horrible game. Trent Williams is not good in that Super Bowl, especially in the first half.
But also,
nobody's blaming Brock, but he did miss throws.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, just because the teams win and lose doesn't mean individual players don't have good and bad games.
Right. And so that's all. You just critique a little bit here. Gosh, we are so, like, if this was Philadelphia, and I think everybody in Philadelphia, there's just a bunch of idiots out there. They're dummies. They're going to rip anybody. They'll rip, you know, it could be a sunny day, 90 degrees, perfect weather, ice cream's melting perfectly in their mouth.
I'm coming around on Philly.
You know, they're
I'm coming around.
Please.
Giants play the Phillies this week.
Oh.
We want to get Howard on?
We should get Howard on. We should get Howard on, actually. Yeah, we should get Howard on because the Knicks are going to eliminate the Sixers
nitwit.
Tonight.
Wait, give me that one again.
Just deal with me, you nitwit. I have style.
Listen, we got Kitty back there with the Knicks hat on.
Yeah.
I tweeted this last night, Kitty. I said, would you actually be surprised if the Knicks made the NBA Finals? Because I wouldn't. We're going to see basketball games in Madison Square Garden in June, Kitty.
Get ready. Better hope there's no white Bronco interrupting that game.
Jimmy and baby. I just wanted to let that breathe for a second. Just let it breathe. I didn't say it.
Dude. Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Jimmy.
You guys were talking about, quarterbacks being, being Super Bowl,
capable. And I would make the argument that it was the combination of the coach and these, you know, great quarterbacks. Like, it was Brady and Belichick.
Sure.
It was Montana and Walsh.
Sure.
You know, it's Andy Reid and Mahomes. So
that's a good point.
With Brock, I really think Shanahan needs to step up. I think he might be the weak link, not Brock. That's all I wanted to say.
Why do you say that?
He's not calling the plays.
Yeah, can you elaborate more? I think there are a lot of people who actually agree with you.
Brock's 24. He was the last pick in the draft. If Shanahan's calling bad plays, Brock doesn't have the capability to say, you know, hey, I think we should go this direction. You know, I'm sure he's learning that, you know, after Super Bowl loss, that, you know, he's going to take the heat, so he might as well do what he wants. But, it's a team. It's how the coach interacts with the quarterback. And I think Shanahan, over time, needs to relinquish some responsibility to Brock, because Brock's a smart and he's going to learn. And I think the whole team showed up unprepared. And that goes on Shanahan. They looked out of shape. They look like they've been in, you know, Rio for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, people getting hurt because, you know, I don't know. But I don't think it all falls on Brock. And that's all I wanted to say.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't fall all on Brock. Good call there. Good call. It doesn't fall all on Brock. It doesn't. Brock's solid. And I'm kind of with him. I would like to see Shanahan relinquish some of that power, some of that control that he has in the offense, and let Brock cook. Let Brock cook. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with that.
I thought he did let Brock cook to some degree. They went empty set a lot in that second half. I mean, and Debo was out, in and out of the lineup, and I don't know. I thought that was just such a margin of error game where it's just the ball bounces one way and it go, like Richie James Jr. fumbled and picked it up and ran for another 6-7 yards. That could have easily been the Niners' ball.
I know.
The Niners fumbled and the defense gave up a touchdown on the very next play. You know, like they intercepted the ball. The Niners did and had it in field goal range and they went backwards and couldn't kick a field goal. Like, it's just so many little things. It was a literal one play here, one play there game.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
God, that loss is going to hang over me forever.
Now, listen, when it comes to Brock and the money and whether or not he's elite or whatnot, I'll say for myself, the whole seventh round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, that just adds to the story. I'm over that. That's just a misevaluation.
Like when we say it,
I think it's a misevaluation on every scout.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but it also dilutes what he is. Like, well, he's only a seventh rounder. Like, no, his talent is proven. He shouldn't be taken in the first round.
I just want to make sure that when I evaluate Brock Purdy, it has nothing to do with where he's picked or how he was picked. The fact is, he came in and he ran with this opportunity and he showed that, hey, I can lead an NFL team and win some big damn games. I don't want to take that away from him. He's won monster games for the 49ers.
Huge games. But Bonte, we don't do this with Debo. Like, you know, Debo came up short in the Super Bowl because he's only a second round talent. You know what I mean? Like, so that, you know, I'm with you.
Right. Hufanga missed that tackle, but you know what? He was a fifth, sixth round pick. You know, Drake Greenlaw, one of the best linebackers in football, but you know, he really was a fifth round pick. So we got to, like, nah, we don't do that.
I think now we can all agree if there was a redraft, he's a first round player, period. Like, there's no debate. Like, that's what he should have been taken in.
But look,
you've seen him play.
But look, in the playoffs, things get tight. They do get tight. And Brock got tight. You know, I heard the play-by-play voice of the 49ers basically saying on that post-game show, you know, in my head, I thought about, man, do we go to Sam Darnold here? This is the divisional round game against the Green Bay Packers. All right? But that doesn't come from anywhere. That doesn't come from anywhere. That doesn't come from anywhere. Shanahan and patience don't get along. And so, through the first half of that game, we all thought it. Boy, this is a Jimmy G game. We're in trouble.
But he did what Jimmy couldn't do, which was
just come back.
He came back
and
delivered,
and he led them. So
that's where the big differentiator is, his resiliency.
So look, I'm excited for Brock, and I'm more excited about Brock in this offense because as of now, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are members of the San Francisco 49ers. They're members of the San Francisco 49ers. And that helps Brock. And now you got Kittle and now you got McCaffrey, and now you got Ricky Pearsall, who's going to join us tomorrow at 8:30 right here on the Morning Roast.
I
can't wait to talk to him about it. He's a Florida Gator, so there's going to be some beef there, but I can't wait to talk to him, and we'll educate him on slang in the Bay Area, where to eat, where to go, not in the club scenes, and, you know, that we're a little older, so I'm not going to tell him where to go there. But in terms of food spots, I think we got that covered.
Well, I don't know if you heard on the latest Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys episode, but Sam Lubman was talking to Jordan Hicks, and
he
goes, Jordan, you know, do you like to make your own food? No, I don't cook. What do you like to eat? Well, I do Uber Eats. He does a lot of Uber Eats, right, Sam?
That is true. He did say that.
And then they asked him, and I want, you have to ask follow-ups. He said he ordered a breakfast burrito, and then he said he likes burritos. And instead of asking, what do you order when it comes to your burrito, you ask about the restaurant. He didn't know because he ordered it online or whatever. I want to find out what is Ricky Pearsall's go-to? If he's from Arizona, he's eating burritos, right? What's he eating? Is he a carne guy? Pollo? Carnitas? What are we doing?
Well, he's in pretty good shape, too, so I don't know how many burritos he's crushing.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like us.
Yeah,
you got dad bods.
Come on, dog.
I mean,
they're also working out constantly. You guys got dad bods.
When the last time you had a two-pack? Like, it's been, you know.
A two-pack? Yeah. The double disc CD in 1995. I mean, are you kidding me?
Dude, it's been over 20 years,
I mean,
man.
Come on, man.
These guys ain't eat like us, man. They eat top of the line.
It's coming hard.
Yeah, my body said that 10 years ago.
I felt in a decade. I won't lie there regarding how I'm feeling, but I've never had
I feel great, too, but then I'm looking at my body. Everybody's talking about summer body. I'm like, yeah, it's not happening for you, boy.
Yeah, here's the summer body. Some of my body parts are hurting. Some of them aren't.
Oh man, what a show. Back to soda. Yeah, back to what's Dan Dibley's weight loss? What's his weight
loss
going on?
He's down 2 pant sizes, he said. Yeah.
1 pound a day.
Yeah, what is the name of that? Maybe I need to try that.
And what is it?
You gotta Google it.
You gotta Google it.
Thanks,
oh,
Trent.
Dibs, where you at? Because I know you're listening.
Lane ripping Dibs. Farts at a podium. Thanks for that education there, Trent.
Dan Dibley, I know you're out there listening. What is the name of your weight loss program?
Oh, Dan is always in the weeds of the YouTube chat.
Oh, because he's looking for the sneak dissing. He's looking for somebody to sneak diss him so we can...
Abundant Life Weight Loss.
Abundant Life.
Abundant Life.
I like that.
Can you? What do they do? Do they have products? Do they have food? Do they send you food? Is it drinks, protein drinks? Do you
Should we get Dibs
eat?
On the hotline really quick to explain it?
Please explain.
A weight loss sensation. No, somebody said they're worried about Dibs.
I needed to lose weight. And I am Dan Dibley.
See, I just scale back on the breakfast, and I scale back on my portions. That's what's helping me keep the weight off. No, because also, when I got the suits tailored for this upcoming season, because I lost so much weight, I was like, I can't fit my suits.
Yeah.
I had to get them all
Shout
tailored.
Shout out Soda.
Shout out Soda. SLTA. Weightloss.com.
A different weight loss thing.
Yeah.
But also, shout out AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. And I'm on their website right now, and they have how their program works, and they find a program to fit your lifestyle.
Just
every
like
person and every family has different needs, different schedules, and different styles.
Here's my lifestyle. I love Jack in the Box at 10:30 at night.
Yeah, see, I don't do that no more.
Sourdough Jack hits.
You know, let me tell you what. This is probably even worse. But in my pride, those 7-Eleven nachos at midnight. With that nasty cheese and chili.
So we
come
were,
on, you know about
so,
those.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So we go in. Me and Charlie, we had a game at 9 o'clock at West Sunset. We got to be at the field by 8 to warm up. So it's like 7:45. We're rolling down
at night or
in the morning.
In the morning.
Right. Games are in the morning, and it's me and Charlie in the car. Got all the gear, and I go, hey Charlie, you want to grab some sunflower seeds at 7-Eleven? He's like, yeah. So we go in there, and they got donuts on the left, the taquito rolls,
the jalapeno
with the
cream
wings
cheese,
and the pizza.
Yeah, and I
looked at him, and he goes, oh. Can I get something? I was like, yeah, you can get a donut, whatever. I go, you don't understand. I ate at this 7-Eleven on 32nd and Terravel way too much. I must have put on 70 pounds on just the taquitos.
The best thing to happen in my life, I swear. So when I first moved to the 10th of Clement, we had the 7-Eleven right across the street. There's an all-star donut spot, 24 hours a day. Nobody would go in there because 7-Eleven was right across the street, 10th of Clement. Then you had the other one, was it 14th, 15th and Gary, right there, right across the street, right across from Park Presidio. And I would be in there whenever I would go to Big Dog's house. I'm like, I'll be right back going to 7-Eleven and get 7-Eleven nachos. Now, when I moved to 10th Clement, they were giving out free candy at the 7-Eleven. I was like, here you go. I was like, why are you guys giving out free
candy.
Stuff? And they were like, we're closing down in a week. And I was depressed. But it happened to be the best thing to happen in my life because I'm not a big donut guy. So I was like, damn, no 7-Eleven.
So you're looking back on your life and you're sitting there with God at the
I could have been about 350.
One of the best moments in my life. 7-Eleven closed down.
I could have been about 350 because your boy would have, got high, and walked downstairs and went to the 7-Eleven and got the nachos, the taquitos, the 2-for-2s, the 3-for-3s. Like, I got some taquitos there. I'm not going to lie. I got some 7-Eleven taquitos a couple weeks ago. Just real quick. I was hungry. I was in a pinch. I got the jalapeno cream cheese. And the guy's like, oh, we got the special 3-for-3. I said, I only want two. He goes, but you save a dollar by getting 3-for-3. I said, how about this? I'll pay for the 3-for-3. You eat the last one. I'm only going two. I'm not going three. I'm not crushing three jalapeno cream cheese taquitos from 7-Eleven. I'm sorry. Can't do it. My bowel system would be problematic the next morning, man.
Stop! Stop it.
All right, I'm stopping. Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Yeah, we got some bad eating habits.
Is there an Aaron Rowan Jack in the Box story, Vontae?
Oh, yes, there is. Big time. Oh, my boy Nick Palm with the City College of San Francisco. We're in the journalism department together, writing on the same school newspaper. And he sends me a picture. I wake up at 2:45, and it's Aaron Rowan in Jack in the Box, the TL one, right by Ruby Sky, down the street from Ruby Sky. And he's wasted at Jack in the Box. By the way, I just cut one. Excuse me. Trent Baalke here.
You guys, all right, you only got two more left.
What is going on here? Aaron Rowan, Jack in the Box, wasted at 2:45. And he sent me, remember the old flip phones? You get the pixelated pictures? He said, like, that's Aaron Rowan, bro. And he is cooked at that Jack in the Box.
It looked like a Rorschach test. And he,
maybe he had a long
that's
night.
Aaron Rowan, I swear.
Maybe he had a
Can't
night.
You tell by the way he's holding that sword sitting on the throne?
Hey, man.
Does he eat his late night burrito the same way he used to bat?
Oh, boy, that munchie meal did him in. Did him in. Maybe it was a long night at Ruby Sky. I don't know. My final thought is, folks, when you get older, eat better. Just eat better. Don't be like Shasky and myself. Eat better.
My final thought is this. You know, yesterday coming out of the park at West Sunset, we had a really beautiful game yesterday. Well-played game. Town played amazing. And I started taking some pictures of just the field and stuff. I posted it, not knowing that one of the dads, DeJuan Fields, was also taking photos of everybody. And then he sent a bunch to me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to post these online. I am tired and sick of seeing people photograph the despair and the poverty of downtown and the negativity of San Francisco. And my new mantra, if there's something positive about San Francisco, families, a restaurant, a place that people like to gather, put them online. I'll retweet them. I'm just going to post nothing but positivity. It starts by one tweet, and that's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to uplift San Francisco.
You know what?
No more ripping.
Tag Fox News in it, too, so they can see it.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. We're starting small.
All right. There it is. Spadoni, love it. What you got? Hey, Kenny, don't say nothing. I see you with the Knicks hat on. Chill, dude. You ain't won a championship since 73. Relax.
Man, imagine taking shots at Knicks fans.
You
like
just
that.
Said they were going to go to the finals, maybe.
Yeah, but they'll lose.
Okay.
Anyway, on that cheerful note, go check out the latest episode of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys that Shasky and I recorded yesterday. And then you'll also find out who the next Giants player I talk to is. So, lots of cool reasons to listen.
Surprise, surprise. Ricky Pearsall tomorrow, 8:30. Ricky Pearsall, let's go.
And maybe someone else, but I don't know, I'm working on it.
That's a tease. I can't wait for that one. Just, you know what? Shameless plug. Pre-game show, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 a.m. with your boy. If you get up early, if you work late,
no.
Hit me up.
That's not
Twitter
really your
now.
Final thought.
Yeah, come on, Lakers.
What's your final thought?
My final thought is, I already told you guys what's going to happen this offseason. Everyone's talking about LeBron going this place, that place. They're going to get Bronny. They're going to keep LeBron. And you know the name I've been throwing out there, and I'm not thrilled about it, but it keeps on popping up. Brian Windhorst was talking about it this morning on Get Up. Trae Young is going to be a Laker.
Oh, gosh.
And they're going to try to do Trae Young.
There goes my
God.
Stiney does not like Trae Young. He does not. He's not a fan of his game.
He used to be comparing him to Steph Curry all the time. Wow. It was like, dude, like, relax.
Shout out Travis Slank.
Travis Slank. Shout out to Travis Slank. Shout out to Darvin Scam. Darvin Ham. I get what you went through the last 2 years, Spadone. I get it. All right, that was Fast Five. Brought to you by Xfinity. What up, Kenny? What's going on? Beat Philadelphia. We love New York taking over Philly. That sorry-ass fan base in Philadelphia. How do you let Nick Fez take over the Wells Fargo Center and yell FNB? You frauds. You lames. I love it. Screw Philly. Till the day I die. That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all your devices. Have a good day, everybody.
Was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.